Praise the Lord, everyone.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, Pastor. Appreciate you people. Appreciate this church. What a lighthouse it is. And the great things that can be accomplished in this church. Just by loving one another, working together, and standing together, great things can be done. Somebody say amen. Thank you. I'm not going to preach today like I normally do. Sometimes I preach hellfire and brimstone. Sometimes I do. But it's going to be a little different, so I just ask you to be patient with us as we bring forth the message today. It's going to be different, but I think we can learn some things from it that would be beneficial to us, not only as an individual, but also as a church. My message today goes back to the Old Testament. But before we do that, let's just take a moment for a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, we praise you, Lord, for your pastor and his wife and family, and for this church, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and for the music, Lord, and for the worship, and for these people, Lord, that come to this church to worship you. We ask, oh God, now that you would move in a very special way. Lord, even though this message may seem strange or different, I'm sure, Lord Jesus, we can all learn something from it that we can take home with us and that it would be a benefit to us, Lord, as time goes by. We love you, Jesus. We appreciate you. Bless this church. Bless this pastor. Bless each one, Lord, that's sitting in the pew today. For I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin my message today with a simple title, Gates, G-A-T-E-S, Gates. Just follow along with me, and I certainly would appreciate it. Today I'm going to speak on this topic, gates. When we hear the word gates, certain things probably come to our mind, like garden gates, baby gates, dog gates, driveway gates, debt gates, etc. But today, I'm going to share with you some thoughts on the 10 gates from the book of Nehemiah. Much of this early portion of the message deals from the book of Nehemiah. Some thoughts from the 10 gates or on the 10 gates from the book of Nehemiah and what each gate was used for. This is why it's so important. During Nehemiah's time, and how you and I can apply those concepts to our life in this world today. First, some background for these gates in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, who had been a cupbearer to the Persian king, Artaxerxes I, he was appointed governor of Judea and pleaded to be sent to Judah to aid his fellow Jews in their difficulties. God used him to rebuild the city walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, but also to repair the gates in the walls in order to provide the needed security of the city. By the way, it took only 52 days for Nehemiah and those who worked with him to accomplish this major thing that I'm talking about, all these 10 gates. He first, that's Nehemiah, surveyed the walls at night to avoid any detention from those who might try to oppose his work. You may find that if you're a pastor of a church, there's always somebody who wants to try to mess up your ministry. He then assembled a labor force and supervised the building process. He was a smart man. He had to overcome hostility and intimidation from his powerful neighbors in Samaria, Ammon, and Arabia. Should be very familiar to you even in this present day. You and I can learn a few good lessons from the life that Nehemiah lived. This is important. The first step is to pray often and with faith. People who follow God's direction can accomplish the impossible with effort, like a Nehemiah showed by being steadfast. Third, two important guidelines as to serving God are talking with Him, and secondly, walking with Him. Am I talking with God daily? Am I walking by His side daily? That goes way back to the Old Testament, and it should be in use today. Now, today we are going to take a look at those 10 gates mentioned in the Bible and what they were used for and how they can relate to our lives today. The first gate is found in the book of Nehemiah chapter 3, and it's the first verse. It was the sheep gate. That's the first one we want to talk about. Now, this gate where the sheep or the lambs which were used, they were used in sacrifice, and then they were brought into the city. How about today? The first thing we need to do is realize that it is Jesus who is the Lamb of God, and it is He who sacrificed Himself on the cross for your sins and my sins. Found in Acts chapter 8, verse 32, it says this, that He was led as a sheep, talk about Jesus, to the slaughter. And like a lamb, dumb before his shearers, so opened He not His mouth. I don't know if I could have done that. The second gate, found in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 3, was called the fish gate. This gate was located in the northern section of the wall. By the way, it looked like a boot that he's referring to. He's going all the way around and come back down to the beginning. This gate was located in the northern section of the wall. This gate was where the fishermen of Galilee would bring their catch into the city to be sold. Today, it refers to evangelism. I wonder how many churches have been taught about evangelism today. Today it refers to evangelism. We have been called the fishers of men. We should be telling others about Christ, but are we? Interestingly, surveys have shown that people that have been saved less than 2 years win the most to Christ. Think of that. Let that sink in. Those who are saved for 2.5 years save more people than anyone after that. I think we old conders could do better. Okay. I wonder. I think I'll go on from there. I hope I didn't mess up here. Did I mention the sheep gate?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I paused. The second gate was found in Nehemiah chapter 3, called the fish gate. This gate was located in the northern section of the wall, where the fishermen of Galilee would bring their catch into the city of Israel. Today, the first evangelist, like we said, has called us fishers of men. We should be telling others about Christ. Interestingly, surveys have shown about what I just mentioned. Where does that put us? Why have we lost our zeal to witness? I pray that you and I haven't lost our zeal. We must continue to witness to others. The third gate found in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5, was called the Old Gate. Fits in with me, doesn't it? The Old Gate. The Old Gate was on the northwest corner of the wall. looking at it the wrong way. This is also true in the spiritual, but it is never a pleasant experience. But this is the result. It will produce fruit. The chorus from the song, Faith is the Victory, which is written by John H. Yates. This is what it says. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. The fifth gate found in Nehemiah, the third chapter again, was called the dung or the refuse gate. Once again, there is a distance between the valley gate and that of the dung gate. This gate was at the southern tip of the city near the pool of Siloam. I think you probably found that in the New Testament as well as the Old. This is an indication that unfortunately the valley experience can go on for some time. Doesn't always happen quick. The result of the valley experience is seen in the dung gate. Places in our lives. Valley experiences are used by the Lord to clear away the rubbish so that true faith, which has been refined by fire, they can then come forth and be able to produce fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to be a fruit bearer. I don't want to be an old weed. I want to be a fruit bearer. If I become an apple, don't bite into me, though. Let's pause. The sixth gate found in Nehemiah also chapter 3 is called the fountain gate. Up until this gate, we have been moving downward on the wall and our experiences have been hard. But now we take a turn in the road. Instead of going downward, we're going to begin to go upward. The fountain gate is located close to the dung gate and is just north of the southern tip of the city near the pool of Siloam. Today, this shows that after all the rubbish in our lives has been cleared out, the fountains begin to flow, and it doesn't take much time for the Holy Ghost to cleanse our lives and to empower us for our Christian walk. Psalms 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The seventh gate found in Nehemiah chapter 3:26 was called the water gate. This gate was located opposite the Gihon Spring, which was the city's main water supply, along with the rainwater cisterns. How about today? This is a picture of the Word of God and the effect that it has in our lives. We need to read the Word and allow it to guide, to clean, to encourage, and direct. To God, a workman, not a lazy man, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You ought to be thankful that the pastor that you have, because he's telling you the truth, and you are blessed, and I hope you know it. No one threw anything at me. I'm doing well. I'm going. All right, let's pause for a moment. The eighth gate found in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 28 was called the horse gate. This gate was located near the temple on the east side of the city. This was the gate used for the horses that was to be used in battle, and therefore it would become a symbol of war. From the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11, it says this, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Today, we all need to live with the hope and to yearn and long for his return, to take us home to be with him. Let us remember that a specific crown is given to those only who do this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. This is what it says, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me," I hope we all can say that, "henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." We should be saying, "Even so, come on, Jesus." This gate is very close to the horse gate because the day of God's wrath will end with the coming of the Lord. The tenth gate, found in the book of Nehemiah, in the third chapter, was called the inspection gate. This is the final gate on the wall. This gate has also been called the Jesus most likely entered Jerusalem in his triumphal entry through this particular gate. If not, then he came through the east gate. How about today? This is where our lives are inspected and rewarded appropriately. As Christians, we should be living our lives with this in mind. We all want to receive a crown on that day. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Prophetically, this gate also speaks of the judgment of the nations that will take place when Jesus returns. We have now completed this trip around the wall of the city of Jerusalem and all the gates that were placed there. We now would be back to the first gate called the Sheep Gate. Let's pause for a moment as we begin to go. The shape of the wall reminds me of a footprint. Therefore, the poem Footprints in the Sand by Mary Stevenson does come to my mind, where she is walking on the beach and with the Lord and leaving footprints in the sand. And when she was at her low points in life, the Lord carried her, left only one set of footprints. I feel to share the entire poem with you this morning. Be patient. I'm almost done. Called Footprints in the Sand by Mary Stevenson. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there was only one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I turned and said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you the most, you have not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "The times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you." Oh, the love of God, His mercy and grace. Remember this. We all want to live our lives so that we can enter in through the pearly gates. The songwriter Fred Blom wrote these words. He, you might find it in your hymn book, "He, the pearly gates will open so that I might enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all of my sins." May God bless today each one of you. And thank you very much for having this opportunity to speak to you today. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you, Lord, for the pastor and his wife and family. We thank you, Lord, for all those who attend and assemble with this church. I thank you also, Father, for all that are present here this morning. I pray, God, they will remember some of the things that may have been said this morning, taken from the Old Testament. Help us to realize, Lord Jesus, that we are drawing very, very close to your second coming. Father, get into our heart, cleanse it, purify it, strengthen us, and Lord, above all else, give us, Lord, a love for you and a love, oh Lord, for our fellow man. God, strengthen us through the power of the Holy Ghost that we might live a life, Lord Jesus, that you have desired for us to do. In Jesus' name, I'm going to turn it back to the pastor. God bless you.